here today. So I'll try to spare you on that. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to preach to you today on our part of our theme, and I want to talk today about continue in His comfort. Continue in His comfort. I hope you'll get some comfort and some help out of this subject matter today. A lot of things we could talk about continuing in, and I think this one is important, that we continue in His comfort. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, go down to verse 15, and let's stand when you get there, please, and we'll read a couple of verses. If you're able, we'll stand for the reading of our scriptures this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Notice verse 16 again. "Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us." Can you say amen right there? "And has given us everlasting consolation." That consolation is comfort. Everlasting, perpetual, ongoing, for eternity, continuing, right? Everlasting is continuing. "Through good hope and grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for Your passage of Scripture You've given to us today. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me, Lord, to explain it, preach it, apply it. But Lord, most of all, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts today. God, You know every heart, You know every need. And Lord, I pray that You would enable me and empower me, give me liberty this morning, God, just to preach Your word, freedom of thought and speech today. But God, I pray You'll be lifted up, You'll be glorified. And Lord, You'll just use this today to help us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated this morning. I love this book. This is an eschatology book. That means this about the second, about the latter days, the end times. And this is one of the main chapters that teaches us about things concerning the end times. What's going to happen? The Antichrist and different things of that nature are covered here. But Paul had to straighten out some error that had been coming into the church. And because of some erroneous teaching, some false doctrine that was coming in, it was upsetting the church. People were getting very distraught about what they were being told, what they were hearing. You know, misinformation can be a bad thing, right? Misinformation, if you hear the wrong thing, you get the wrong information, you can get very upset, and then you're relieved when you find out, oh, I'm glad that was a false report. Oh, I'm glad you were wrong about that. I hate to tell somebody I'm glad you were wrong about that, but if it was bad news that turned out not to be bad news, but misinformation can become very upsetting to us. And that's what was happening right here in the church. Rumors stir up great concern that oftentimes is unnecessary. In this case, they were being told that the rapture had already happened, they were left behind, and that they would have to go through the great tribulation. That's what they were being told. Oh, that's already happened. I don't know what Paul's telling you guys, but it's already happened. I mean, the Lord's already come back. You guys got left behind. Oh, there's going to be some terrible time. Their eschatology, their end times doctrine was not right. And they were having some confusion about it. It was very upsetting as to what was going on. Their faith was shaken. They were distressed. They were worried. Why? Because they got bad information. Verse 1, if you look at verse 1 of this chapter. Verse 1, Paul said to them, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." You know what he's saying? No child of God's going to get left behind. Hey, when the rapture happens, if you're a child of God, you're going up. You didn't miss a thing, is what he's trying to straighten them out about and trying to help them with. But misinformation had really upset them. So basically what he said there is no child left behind. No child of God left behind. Amen. I know that's a school thing. But anyway, no child left behind. But I'll tell you what, when the rapture comes, no child of God's going to be left behind. And he was letting them know. God knows who. Look, don't you listen to these false teachers. They'll upset you. Don't listen to these false doctrines. They'll get you off track. But now what we read at the end of the chapter is the effect of what Paul's trying to teach them. When he gets there, in verse 15, he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." Hey, because of the truth I'm telling you, you hang on, you hold on, and you continue living for Jesus and looking for his return. Stand fast, he says. Hold on, hold strong. You know, I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's very similar to this chapter right here. Paul goes through chapter 15. It's the resurrection chapter. Paul talks about the future resurrection. Because Jesus rose again, there's going to be a future resurrection of the saints. Amen? That's what he talks about in chapter 15. And then he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Same exact thing he just did in this chapter. It's really the same thing. He says, hey, because of this truth, because God has great things in store for your future, you hang on in the hard times. Amen? That's a message we need from the Bible and from God. There's going to be tough times, but there's going to be great things in store. Stand fast. What does staying fast mean? It means stand strong. You say, I don't know how to stand fast. I know how to run fast. I don't know how to stand fast. It's just an old word that says stand your ground is basically what it means. Stand strong. Therefore, because of this truth. You know the old saying, when you see therefore in the Bible, you need to see what it's there for. Well, it's a conclusion. Because of all the truth I just gave you, continue. Continue in his comfort. Stop being distressed. Let not your heart be troubled, is what he's saying to them. Stand fast, stand strong, continue. Albert Barnes in his commentary says, this is not temporary comfort, but that which will endure forever. Everlasting consolation means it will continue forevermore. The joy of Christianity is not like other joys. Those soon fade away. They terminate at death. They cease when trouble comes, when sickness invades, and when wealth or friends depart. Hey, when wealth or friends depart, sickness comes, trouble invades, guess what? The joy of the world goes away. You know why? Their happiness is based in their happenings. Their happiness and their joy is rooted in their circumstances is the reason why. But that's not the way it is with a Christian. Because we know the eternal truths, because we know the truth of the end times, the latter times, and what's in store for the Christian, we can continue in his comfort. That's what I want to get across to us today. You can continue in the everlasting consolation that he's talking about right here. Now, the word consolation there in verse 16, everlasting consolation, that's an interesting word. That's perpetual comfort. That's ongoing. But here's the thing. In the Greek, it is the word paraklesis. The interesting thing about that is the Greek word for the comforter. Remember Jesus said, I'll send the comforter? The Greek word for comforter is paraklete. Here is paraklesis. What it means is they're very similar words. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He'll be your comforter. Here he says, I'm going to give you everlasting consolation. Same word, basically. And you know what it means? It means to call to one side. That is kind of like if there's a storm going on and you're outside or some scary situation, you know what a parent will do? Come here, child. They'll call their child. Come here, child. Come stand right beside me. And you'll put your arm around them. And you'll say, just stay right beside me. I'll comfort you. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. Aren't you glad that's what God does for his children? Amen. Whenever it says the comforter is coming, it means God says, I got somebody that's going to be right by your side. By the way, the Holy Spirit's He's not just right by your side. He's not just your constant companion. He indwells every believer. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's there to comfort you. Why? Because what's in the world? Sin and trouble and trial and temptation. But yet I've got the comforter right inside. I've got the comforter right there by my side. He's there. So everlasting consolation has that same idea of God saying, I'm going to call you to my side. I'm telling you, it's good to be a child of God today. Now, it's the blessed life, but does that mean it's easy life? Well, we know it's not. We know we're subject to trials and troubles just like anybody else. In fact, maybe even more so because you and I are in spiritual warfare. There's a great battle going on. And you and I, as Christians, we're soldiers of the cross. We're in the middle of this. And we've got an enemy. And we need to realize and understand it's the blessed life, but it's not the easy life. But what I'm saying today is, no matter what happens, continue in His comforts. It's everlasting. It's continual. It's always there. I want to give you three thoughts about this today. Number one, let me say this to you. Continue even when the devil hits you hard. Continue. That's what happened to this church right here. The devil, with his lies, hit them hard. They were bewildered. They were upset. They were confused. That's the devil's business. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. God is not the author of lies. The devil is. God deals in truth, always truth, right? God's truth is the only truth. The devil, though, comes along and he'll hit you with something that will upset you greatly. He'll hit you with a lie. He'll hit you with a trial. He'll hit you with any kind of trouble. And don't be surprised when it happens. Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter said, don't be surprised. Now, who's doing the trying? Well, let me say this. If it's God, then it's like purifying gold. He's going to build you up through the trial, right? If the trial comes from God, he said, don't be surprised. God's got to work on you. God's got to knock off some rough edges. God's got to purge you. God's got to try you. He's got to put you through the fire so you'll come forth as gold. But if it's the devil, that fiery trial is a different kind of trial, because if it's the devil, it is the kind that he wants to bring total destruction to your life and to your Christian testimony. So you got to watch out for who's doing the trying. If it's God, you continue in His comfort. He's going to help you. He's going to make you better. He's going to purify you. He's going to make you stronger. He's going to, like you said, He'll establish you in every good word and every good work. But if it's the devil, he's got a whole different thing in mind for you. We have a determined enemy, don't we? We've got a mean enemy. And the devil comes and he'll hit you hard and he'll do his best. But Peter says, don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Peter also said he's out there roaring, out there walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've got a determined enemy that wants to devour, destroy your marriage, your family, your children, your Christian life, anything about you, because he hates God and he hates God's children. You say, preacher, is that a real thing? Is the devil a real thing? Absolutely. God is real, so is the devil. He's a person. He's not a symbol of evil. Sure, he symbolizes evil, but he is a person of evil. And he's the one bringing temptation into your life. And he's the one throwing those fiery darts at you and bringing those thoughts into your mind that you say, where in the world did that come from? Oh, fiery darts of the devil, temptation. Yeah, he's real. But thank God the Holy Spirit is by your side when the enemy approaches. Amen. That everlasting consolation, that's a constant companion. That's a constant helper there. And we can continue. You know, a soldier can't quit. A soldier need not quit. A soldier needs to continue even though the battle goes long. And even though the battle is severe, a soldier needs to continue. And the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Continue. But you got to lean on Jesus and continue in His everlasting consolation. He'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. He says, stand fast. I'll help you do it. He said, I don't think I can stand fast. I don't think I can stand strong. I feel like I'm going to crumble. Lean on the everlasting arms then, right? And stand strong in His comfort. Somebody says, but Pastor, you don't understand. I failed the Lord again. You say, I failed the Lord again. And I got this certain area in my life and I failed Him again. I just feel like giving up. I just don't feel like I need to go on any further. I just don't feel like I'll ever get past it. You know, the Bible says you've got a besetting sin. It besets you. It's the thing that you really have a hard time with. It's something you need to get victory over, and if you do, you'll find another one, right? I mean, that's a part of this battle that we go through all the time. And then the devil doesn't help matters any. You say, well, I'm going to just quit and give up. Then you made the devil happy. That's what he wanted. I say continue in his comfort. Amen? Just keep right on going with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know when a Christian fails or a Christian sins? Do you know what to do when a Christian sins? Well, I'm saved. I'll never sin again. I don't know who told you that lie. You better go read 1 John. I'm saved. I've been saved from my sins. I'll never sin again. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. But you know, 1 Peter 5:8, I just talked about the roaring lion, the devil. You know 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what you need to do? Lean on him. Cast it on him. 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. He said, if we confess our sins, Christians, he is faithful. You know what? I'm glad God's faithful to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You know why? Because I'm faithful to fail again. I don't try. You don't try. But it happens because you're in this old sinful flesh. I'm glad God has given us a remedy. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's an ongoing thing. We have to go back for cleansing. Just like you go back and wash your hands. You go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You don't get saved over and over again. You get saved one time. You don't get saved over and over again. But you wash your hands spiritually over and over again, right? Because they get dirty in this old world. And you need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you continually, and thank God that it does. Moses needed it. Abraham needed it. Did you ever read their lives? Did they have some failures? Hey, great giants of the faith. Yeah, God showed us some of the ugly parts too, didn't he? How about old Samson? Samson, got, you say Samson was a total failure. Samson was one of the judges. God, hey, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He failed. But yet, whenever he confessed and he prayed again, God re-strengthened him and used him one more time in a great way. Amen? I'm just saying, you continue. People say, get back on the horse. Well, you say, he's thrown me so many times. Get back on the horse. You got to keep going. When the devil hits you hard, when the devil knocks you back, when the devil knocks you down, you just got to keep on going and keep on going. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. A lifetime ago when I was like 16 years old and 139 pounds. The reason I know that is because I was boxing. I know exactly, you know, what I weighed at some of those certain times in my life. I probably was 109 when I started, you know, and then I got to be a teenager and grew and still growing, but we won't talk about that, amen? My age and weight today is, I'm not going to disclose all that. But when I was 16, about 139 pounds, boxing, a new guy came into the gym, big, tall guy, tall, big boy, but taller and bigger than me. And the coach says, hey, let's see what new guy's got. He tells me to spar with this big, tall guy and tells me, take it easy on the new guy. You know, so I try to do that. But he is so big and so tall, I can't get to the guy. And he's got such a long reach. And when those punches are coming down, they're not hitting you here, they're hitting you on top of the head. That's not fun. Right about right there on top of your forehead, that hurts, And this guy kept hitting me like that. So after a while, I got so frustrated that take it easy on the new guy part just went out the window. And a term back then, open up means just throw punches nonstop for 10, 15, 20 seconds. And I just went at him right then. And as soon as I did, the coach yelled, time means stop. Because he knew what was happening there. You know, I wasn't taking this anymore. Here's my point. You can't take it easy when the devil comes at you. When the devil hits you hard and the devil hits you over and over, you can't say, well, I'm going to take it easy on the devil today. No, you can't do that. That's not an option to take it easy on the devil. You got to engage, you got to fight, you got to open up, you have to go after him, and you have to do like Jesus said, and you start quoting scripture, you start reading the Bible, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against thee, and you lean heavy on that, but the devil's going to come, he's going to hit you hard. Now, is it going to hurt sometime? Is he going to knock you down sometime? Is it going to feel like he's winning sometime? Yeah, but you continue in his comfort and say, Lord, the devil got to me today. The devil knocked me down again today. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me. You know when Jesus fasted 40 days and the devil came and tempted him? You remember what happened? At the end of that, the angels came and ministered unto him. Hey, you mark it down. The Lord will lift you up again. He restoreth my soul, Psalm 23 says. I like that. Amen. The Lord will help you, get you going. Hey, when the devil hits you hard this week, what do? You continue in the Lord's comforts. And he'll help you. And the angels, so to speak, will minister unto you and help you get through it as well. Can I say this, number two? Not only when the devil hits you hard this week, but number two, you continue when the trial gets very sore. And you know it will. You know it's going to happen. You know this trial here was very sore for these people. You know what happened whenever they got this news, this false news? Some people just gave up. Some people began to quit. Some people began to walk away from the church. Some people began to say, I've been lied to. They got very upset. It was very distressing. Can you imagine if somebody was to come to you with some misinformation and they actually lured you or your loved one away from the faith, away from God, to where you didn't know what you believed anymore? Can you imagine that would be a very distressful thing? That's what was happening to this church. The trial was very sore. I saw that happen in Bible college one time. A professor said something in class that seemed to imply that there were mistakes in the Bible. Well, that just threw one. By the way, it was a misunderstanding, and it all got worked out later. But that thought, that idea that there were mistakes in the Bible just threw this young man for a loop. He couldn't take it. He was like, well, if I can't believe that part of the Bible, I can't believe any of the Bible, which would be true. And he began to give up on God, on ministry, on his parents, because his whole life was wrapped up in what he had been taught. And now it seems to be crumbling. Well, if there's mistakes in the Bible, then I can't trust my Bible. I can't trust anything. And again, by the way, it was a misunderstanding. He recovered, and it was okay. But that is what was happening to this church. Because of some misinformation, because of some error, because of some false doctrine, they were just ready to throw in the towel and give up on this thing. I mean, why are we even here today if it's not so? If it's not true, then why bother? A lot of people, by the way, they falsely believe that, so they don't bother coming to church. Now, they're the ones with the misinformation. They're the ones who have been lied to, right? But that's what was happening to this church. Now, let me just say this. We face all sorts of trials. Could be one like that. Trials come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Problems can be very complex. They can vary. Somebody will begin to tell you their story, and then they'll say, and that's not the half of it. Oh, that's not all. Oh, and that's not the worst of it. And then the story just takes new turns, and you're like, wow, where's this going? Well, everybody can tell their story. You know it's true because we all have our own trying set of circumstances, right? I won't explain it, but I said Wednesday night that our evangelist faced some things while he was here that were unusual. But you know what? It was really just like your trials, things beyond his control and unexpected. That's what happens to us. And the stories, you know, it's just endless, the kind of stories that we all could tell about things that have happened to us and trials that we faced and troubles that we faced and how the twists and the turns just continue. And we're like, where did it come from? How did that happen? How did I get here? They are fiery trials that come into our life, and we need to learn, again, to cast them on the Lord. A man used to, he would go home every day from work. He would go to a tree and he would pretend to put something on the tree and then he'd go in the house. He'd come out the next morning to go to work. He'd go to the tree. He'd pretend to pick it up and he'd get in his car and go to work. Finally, a neighbor asked about, hey, I kind of observed you got a little ritual, I notice. Neighbors see your rituals, right? And I kind of noticed your little ritual there of, you know, you do that thing at the tree when you get home and then you go up there. He said, that's my worry tree. He said, when I get home from work, I just drop my worries right there on that tree limb, and I don't take it into the house. I don't take it into my family. And then when I come out the next morning, I pick my worries back up and go on my way. That's one way to deal with it, I guess. But you know, I'd rather do like Peter said, and cast my care upon him and leave it there. You know, I don't want to pick them back up. I want to give them to the Lord. I want to lay them on the altar and leave them on the altar. Amen? How many times do we come lay it on the altar and then take it back home with us? We're doing about like that guy did then. I mean, that might work for somebody. There might be an okay method. Don't take your problems into the house to your family. I get that. But I'd rather cast my care upon him, knowing he cares for me, and say, Lord, I'm just giving that to you. Amen? Lord, it's a sore trial. It's a surprising trial. It was an unexpected trial. And I don't know where it came from, and I don't know where it's going, and I don't know why you allowed it. But God, I'm just going to commit it to you. And I'm going to move forward. I'm going to continue in your word, in your promises, in your comforts. I'm going to let you establish me in every good word and every good work, which is what he was talking about there. I like the song that says, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That's a good practice right there. Amen. Continue in his comfort when the devil hits you hard. You know he will. When the trial gets very sore. And then number three, I want to say this. Continue even when you're too weary to continue. Chapter 3, verse 13. Look at that. The next chapter there, verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Continue even when you're too weary to continue. Sometimes it's hard to keep going, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like we just got to give in the towel, just throw in the towel and give it up. Three men were talking about what they wanted their grandchildren to remember about them in 50 years. One said, I hope my grandchildren will say about me that I was a loyal family man. The second one said, I hope my grandchildren will say he was a good businessman. The third one said, I hope my grandchildren will say, my goodness, Grandpa looks good for 120 years old. Amen. But you know, sometimes the Bible says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can't continue like that. Amen. You say, I'd like to continue. Hey, I am going to live forever, but it's going to be in heaven, right? But sometimes the flesh gets weak and we don't feel like we can continue. We feel like we need to give up. People in this church here were ready to give up. They were confused. They were worried. They were emotionally and spiritually exhausted. Trials and temptations can take their toll on you, can't they? So can responsibilities of life. You know, Paul talked to the Corinthians and he talked about all the perils, the troubles, the trials, and then he ended with, and the care of all the churches. What was he saying? I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of troubles. The devil's been hitting me hard. I got a lot of sore trials. Sometimes I don't feel like continuing. And then I got responsibilities on top of that. But you got to just keep it on for Jesus' sake. Sometimes we say, I got too much on my plate. We literally do that one, don't we? Too much on my plate, you know? But it happens in life too. We get too much on our plate. And we feel like, I can't continue. I'm too weary. I'm too tired. I'm just ready to give up on this whole thing. And we feel like just fainting. But Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus said, just keep staying in tune with heaven. If you feel like fainting, get back in tune with heaven. Hey, you know what? By the way, that's what a revival does for us. Amen. You're ready to give up, ready to throw in the towel, ready to quit, and God gives you, recharges your spiritual batteries in a good revival meeting. Amen. Or a good church service, by the way. And it gives you what you need to continue. It gives you what you need to go on and face another day. Now, in verse 15, look at verse 15, and we'll be done here in a minute. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. The word tradition right here is not just talking about traditions of men. It's talking about, actually, the word is talking about truth handed down. Now, what is he saying here? Brethren, stand fast, hold the tradition. That is what the truths that you've been handed down. Whether by our word, by our epistle, whether by a Sunday school teacher you've had through your life, whether the pastors you've had through your life, whether godly parents that have taught you through your lifetime, just spending some time in God's house, in church, your own Bible study. Tradition here is truths that have been handed down. You know what he's saying? Hold on to them. Be comforted by them. What is it? It's the truths and the precepts and the promises of the Scriptures. How am I going to make it another day? Read more of your Bible. Read another psalm. Hear another sermon. Hold fast to these traditions which you have been taught. Now, you know our theme verse this year, 2 Timothy 3:14, same thing. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul said, hey, the things that I've taught you, hold fast to it. Stand strong in it. What is he saying? Keep your nose in the book right there, that Bible. Stay in the Word of God. Continue in these things right here, even when you don't feel like continuing. Hey, continue by reminding yourself of the comfort and the grace of God. Continue in the presence and the power and the promises of the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. Continue in His precious Word. Don't buckle under the pressure. Don't cave in. Just lean on Jesus and say, I'm going to continue in His comfort. And you can. Amen? You can. And I hope you will learn to practice that. You know, in 2 Samuel 9, Mephibosheth, remember that? Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan that was lame on his feet, and King David said, where's Mephibosheth? Oh, he's going to kill the house of Saul. No. He said, I want to show kindness unto the Jonathan's son. He's lame on his feet. And the Bible says that David brought him into the palace and said he would eat bread at the king's table continually. And then another verse says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on his feet. You know what that was? He was comforted in his trials. He was comforted in his troubles. He was comforted with the besetting things that held him back. But yet he continued in the comfort of the king. You know, you're a soldier. And there's going to be hard times. The devil's going to hit you. There's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be days you don't feel like going on. But if you'll continue in the everlasting consolation of the King of Kings, you're going to be okay. Amen? That's a reminder I think we all need from time to time. And I think maybe we need it today. You just keep on going. The Bible's truth. Jesus. Hey, by the way, Jesus might come today. But guess what? If He doesn't, He's still coming. You hang in there. Amen? He's still coming. Hang in there. Hold fast. Continue in His comfort. Call to one side is what it means. You've been called. God has come to your side. He's right there. Never leave you nor forsake you. Constant companion and helper. Lean on that and continue in His comfort. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? As we think about these truths today, I don't know what your need might be. I don't know what your trial might be. I don't know what your battle with the devil might be. I don't know at what point it is you feel like giving up, caving in. Maybe it's today. Maybe you came in here today feeling like that. Maybe God wants to say, continue in my comforts. Everlasting consolation. Be comforted today. Be established today. This altar is open. You might need to come leave it there. Leave it on that altar. Cast your care upon Him, knowing He cares for you. Dear Father, speak to our heart. Meet our needs now. Help us to be responsive to Your Word and obedient to what You want us to do. And I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our music plays. If you need to come today, give it to the Lord. Ask God for strength and comfort and help. You come today.